Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 12. Anybody got fall allergies yet? Man, I'm going to tell you something. I mowed hay all afternoon and was in a cab with the air conditioner running and radio playing. Somebody say amen right there. And it still started bothering me, and I had to take some allergy medicine. Romans chapter number 12, let's stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word. And we'll do a little Bible study here. I'll not keep you long because we've got kingdom kids, but I want to look at this tonight. Romans chapter number 12, the Bible said this, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I'm interested in verse number 1 where the Bible said that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And I want to talk to you about that simple thought, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Father, I love you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us right now. Lord, as we look into your word to recall the things that we've studied, I pray, God, that you'd help Miss Rhonda and Brother David tonight, God, Father, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd meet the need there. Help Preacher Ted tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd make his home going easy. I pray, God, that you'd help his dear wife, God, and comfort her. And God, we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I love these two verses, and we're going to continue our study in separation. This is the fourth message that I've preached on it. If you've not heard them, you can go back on our podcast and listen to them on our podcast. But this is the fourth one, and I'm interested in verse number 1, but verse number 2 is so great. We'll probably get there before it's all said and done. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And every time I read that, I remember a little boy, as a little boy, going to Maxway. Anybody ever heard of Maxway? Going to Maxway in Yadkin Plaza, where we, Brother Matt, you probably remember Maxway in the Yadkin Plaza, and begging Mama to buy me a 99-cent transformer. That's what matchbox cars and little things like that used to cost. And Mama bought me one, and it was so neat because it was a Corvette, but then it would transform into what looked like just a robot or some crazy thing. What happened? It becomes something different. It transformed into something different. And you know, that's what the Bible's saying to us tonight, that we are to be transformed, that we become a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ when we get saved. Now, once we get saved, we begin the process of separation from this world. You should be more separated today than you was the day that you got saved. In other words, you should be growing in the Lord. Now, he talks in verse number 1 about ways that we can do that. And here's how we can do that. He tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. Did you know the saved is the only ones that can do that? Because he says this, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. A lost man is not living tonight. His soul is, I understand he's living, but let's look at the spiritual side, his soul. His soul is dead. What did the Bible say in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse number 1 and verse number 5? Here's what he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespassings of sin. Verse 5 says this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. You see, the day we got saved, our soul was made alive. We become alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse number 1 is dealing with the saved man, because it's only that individual that is living in Christ that can be a living sacrifice. presenting your body as a living sacrifice is the key to victory and joy. Most people try to get all they can from God, but the key to satisfaction and happiness is to give yourself and all that you are and all that you have to the Lord. You see, God is interested in all of us. And what I mean by that is not all of us. What I mean is He's interested in all of you. He's interested in all of me. He just doesn't want a little bit of my life. He wants all of me now that I've got saved. One said it this way, the way up is down. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? That we bow ourselves before Him. God wants 100% commitment from our life. That's what He's saying here. You know, I thought about this. There's a large difference between involvement and commitment. Between involvement and commitment. Can I illustrate it for you? This morning, Miss Leslie and I got up early, and I read a while in my Bible and prayed a little while, and then we went to Mount Airy and jumped on the greenway and rode 10 miles on the greenway, and then by 7:30, we was back home. Some of y'all hadn't even got up by then, but by 7:30, we was back home, and last night, Brother Scotty, before I went to bed, I went downstairs in the freezer and got some of that good whole hog tenderloin out that you had gave me. Somebody say amen for that. And you say you wrote, I put it in the air fryer so it was healthy, okay? And I got home, and whenever we got home, I told Leslie, I said, I'm starving to death. And she fixed me tenderloin and 2 scrambled eggs with some cheese sprinkled on the top to adorn it, praise God, and some gluten-free toast and some jelly. Somebody say amen for gluten-free toast and jelly. And I sat down, and I ate every bit of it. Amen. And that little bit of jelly that fell off my toast, I took my finger. I did. I washed my hands before I eat, okay? And I got it up. Somebody say amen for that, amen? Now, listen to me right here. The chicken was involved in giving me that meal. I had 2 eggs. The chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. He died. You with me? There's a difference in involvement and commitment. One thing that we are going to, I'm reading an article. I don't know if you've read all that article about volunteering yet. I haven't got through all of it yet. It ain't been about that long. But anyway, I'm going to finish reading that blog on that. One thing that as of now, we have stopped calling anybody a volunteer at our church. Let me tell you the reason why. When you volunteer, Brother Brian, when that pager goes off, we volunteer. We don't have to get up and go. Brother Ramsey, we don't have to get up and go. And all 3 of us has been senior officers in the fire department, and we feel a little more obligated to go as that. But we really don't have to. Why? Because we volunteer. You know, a lot of times at church, people says, yeah, I'll volunteer. You know what you're saying? I'll be involved. We're not interested in involvement. We're interested in commitment. There's a difference in involvement and commitment. And He's saying here, Jesus and God is saying, I don't want you to be involved. I want you to be committed. Amen. I read something. John MacArthur shares the story of a Chinese Christian who's moved with compassion when men of his country, countrymen were taken to work as coalies in South Africa's mines. In order to witness to these men, this prominent old man sold himself to the mining company to work as a coalie for 5 years. He died there, still a slave, but not until he had won more than 200 men to Christ. He was truly a living sacrifice for the Lord. In the mid-17th century, a well-known Englishman was captured by Algerian pirates and made a slave too. While in slavery, he started a church. When his brother arranged his release, he refused freedom, having vowed to remain a slave until he died in order to continue serving the church he started. Today, a plaque in an Algerian church bears his name. He too was a living sacrifice for Christ. He wasn't involved. He was committed. One of the old Roman coins, on one of the old Roman coins was a figure of an ox standing between a plow and an altar with the inscription, "Ready for either." That is the attitude of a sold out Christian who is presenting his body as a living sacrifice. He's ready for either. He's ready for whatever God has for his life. Our body becomes a living sacrifice when we are yielded to the Lord. When we are yielded, can I say it this way? When our ears, our eyes, our feet, our hands, our tongue, and our mind are yielded to God. You say, "Preacher, I thought you was preaching on separation tonight." I am. Because when it's all yielded to God, we will be separated. So many times, man, we take this thing of separation in a completely different direction, and everybody has this bitter taste in their mouth about it. When it's so much more, Brother Josh, it's when we yield everything to Him, it is separation. Let me look at a few things tonight. Number one, I would say this to you, and I'm watching the clock. We'll not get done with this tonight. But I want to look at these areas, our ears, our eyes, our feet, our hands, our tongue, and our mouth. Number one, if we're going to be separated from this world, and if our body and our mind and our soul is going to be a living sacrifice for God, number one, we are to have consecrated ears. We are to have consecrated ears. That word consecrated means this: made sacred by ceremonies or solemn rites, separated from a common to a sacred use, devoted or dedicated to the service and worship of God. To the service and worship of God. Devoted and dedicated to that. You know what our ears should be? Our ears should be devoted and dedicated to the service and worship of God. Our ears, I read this, it's very interesting. Our ears, about said years, that's what my daddy says. He said, "Your ears okay?" Our ears are capable of catching 73,700 vibrations per second, whether it is the rumbling of a distant thunder, the raising buzz of a flower mosquito, or the soft whisper of a sleeping baby's breathing. Of all the organs in the body, the inner ear demands the most bodily injury or energy. Listening is so important that the ear is the first organ to function in the womb and the last to quit functioning at death. You know what? I believe God wants us to hear some things. Amen. I believe God wants us to hear some things. You know, I thought about this week studying. Why do we struggle at times to listen to God? I don't know about you, but there's times that I struggle to listen to God. Sometimes God just has to beat me over the back of the head. Now, you may not be that way. And if you're not, I'm glad you're not, but I am, Brother Ramsey. Study Jacob's life. I've started studying it. Max Licato just put out a new book yesterday on Jacob, and I started reading it. And you say, "Well, I don't agree with him on everything." I don't agree with me on everything. He's a great writer, though, and he's got some good stuff to say. But anyway, on Jacob's life, and man, Jacob was hard-headed. And you study him out. A lot of times we don't listen the way that we need to listen. Why? Well, sometimes it's just simply because we're disobedient to the Lord. We're just straight up disobedient to the Lord. The Bible said this in Matthew 7:26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Sometimes it's because we're distracted. We don't have the ears for God because we're distracted. Listen to what the Bible said, 2 Timothy 4:4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." What is the truth that he is talking about right there? Study the scripture in context. When you go back to verse number 1, he says, "Preach the word." What is the truth that he is referring to? The truth that he is referring to is the Bible. It is Christ. It's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John tells us. He's dealing with the Bible. And you know, a lot of times it says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. We get distracted. What distracts us? People. People. You cannot look at people. Let me tell you the reason why. They will disappoint you. They will make mistakes. My mind is still not what it was. And this short-term memory stuff is killing me. And Monday, I was sitting in the office studying, and Brother Ramsey texted me Monday morning. He said, "Hey, preacher, can I call and talk to you a minute?" And I read the text, Brother Brian. I was sitting there at my computer. I've got a Mac. It came up. I read it, cleared it off, continued typing, and thought, I'm going to text him in just a second and tell him to call. At 8:30 Monday night, I drove past his house, leaving the fire department, and I thought, oh, no, I didn't text him back. And I texted him, and I said, "Preacher, I'm so sorry. My, it just slipped. Look here, people's going to let you down. And you cannot allow people to distract you away from the Word of God. How they act, what they say. Look, what matters is the Word. That's what matters. The truth here is dealing with the Bible. I'm going to say this and then move on. So many get stuck in traditionalism, and if you don't go with their tradition, they get upset with you and they'll write you off and it'll hurt you. The Word, they turn from the truth. If it lines up with the Bible, that's all that matters. Amen. Now, I'm going to move. Disobedient to the Lord sometimes. We're distracted sometimes. But let me just skip on down. I'm going to knock a couple boxcars out here. You say, "Preacher, how can I keep my ears right? How can my ears be right?" Well, can I say this? Let me give you two right here, and then we're going to jump on. Number one, they need to be aimed toward the Lord. They need to be aimed toward the Lord. Proverbs 4:20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying." Incline means to bend or stretch forward. He says, incline, bend or stretch forward your ear to him. Sunday night, David was talking, and Brother Brian was beside him, and I kept doing like this. And I told Brother Brian, I said, "I guess I'm getting older. That meningitis done something to my hearing." And I kept, anybody else ever do that? You ever do that? You say, what are you doing? You're inclining. That's what you're doing. You're bending or lending an ear. And that's what he says tonight. Our ears should be aimed towards the Lord. Look here, if the preacher's not in the Bible, don't listen to him. If it's not sound doctrine, don't listen to him. If he cannot back up what he's saying by the Word of God, it's to be aimed towards the Lord. I want to say this to you, and I'm going to move. I could preach so long here, but I'm going to move. If you'll keep it aimed towards the Lord, church, you'll not struggle with bitterness. You'll not struggle with anger. You'll not struggle with malice. Matter of fact, I'm fixing to start a new series. I'm working on a new series on bitterness. And bitterness will kill you. Are you with me? Bitterness will kill you. I refuse to allow someone else to control my life besides the Lord. I refuse to let. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is this. You are allowing someone else to control your life. You are not having your ear attentive to the Lord. He says, forgive. I'm going to say this in passing. And I'm not going to spend no time here. But while I was sick, I found out who my true preacher friends was. You say, what do you mean by that? I found out who really cared. Those that really reached out to me, are you with me? You'll find out who your true friends are when you get in the hospital like that. And they were some, Brother Stan, that I thought was my closest friends. I really did. Never one time did I get a text from them. Never one time. You say, well, did it upset you? When I was on all that medicine, yeah, it did. I said things and had to apologize to my daddy for the things that I said. I'm just being honest. But you know what I've done since then? Every one of those that I had a hard feelings towards, I've reached out to. Told them I loved them and was praying for them. Let me tell you the reason why I want my ear turned towards Him. And when I turn my ear towards Him, I'm living a sacrificial life. I'm dying to self. I'm not bragging on me, but I know me better than I know anybody else, okay? Brother Josh, I try to put my ear towards Him, and you know what He says? Nobody texted me when I was on Calvary. Nobody come by and saw me when I was on Calvary. Why are we any better than Him? Our ear must be towards Him and listening to Him. It's got to be aimed towards the Lord, but it's got to be attentive to the Word of the Lord. He said this in Nehemiah chapter number 8. He said, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That is Nehemiah. They're in Nehemiah 8, they're reading the Word of God. And it said their ear was attentive. I'll give you this in verse number 4. The reason I have a wood pulpit is because they had one in Nehemiah's day. I think it's scriptural. Proverbs chapter number 5 says this, and we'll keep moving before I make somebody mad right there. But I do have Bible for that. That's not tradition, that's Bible. Proverbs 5:1 says, my son, attend unto wisdom. And I just think they're pretty. I mean, you know, that you can, there's character to it. You know, there's character to that. By the way, there's a nail sticking out right there, Caleb. I cut my finger a while ago, if we could fix that. But watch this. Where am I at? Proverbs, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. We're to have consecrated ears, number 2 tonight. I'll give you this and we'll go on. We're to have controlled eyes. Our body, a living sacrifice. How do we do that? Our eyes has got to be controlled. You know, your eyes will get you in trouble. They'll get you in trouble so quick. That's the reason I wear blacked out sunglasses all the time. You say, why? Because every once in a while, Miss Mandy, you just see things and you're like, Miss Mandy takes pictures, sends them. Anyway, you're like, oh, my goodness. Your eyes, they'll get you in trouble. One writer said that the eye can flash with indignation, kindle with enthusiasm, expand with the devotion, melt with sympathy, stare with fright, droop with sadness, pale with envy, inflame with revenge, twinkle with glee, beam with love, frown with wrath, and contract with pain. Boy, how true that is. There's great power in the eyes. Things we see, we can never unsee. You with me right there? Once you've saw it, you can never unsee that. I thought whenever I was studying this, Miss Nicole, about the things that we've seen in emergency services and the things that you've seen in the emergency room, and Brother Tim, the things that we've seen, and the dead people, Brother Brian, that we've cut out of cars and pulled out of homes and burnt by. You never unsee that, Brother Stan. You've been there. You never unsee. What enters your eye gate stays there. Our eyes are to be controlled. As wonderful as our eyes are, there's a danger of being blinded of some things also. We can be blinded to the opportunities of service, blinded to our responsibilities in the Lord's work. And you know what? Everybody has a responsibility in the Lord's work. Blinded to the harvest of the fields that are outside these doors. Blinded to the things that matter most. We can be blinded to that. The devil will blind you to what matters most. I'm just going to say this. You get where I was at a couple weeks ago and you'll look at life completely different. I promise you that. Every sunrise you'll see different. You'll hug your kids different every time. It'll make a difference. Blinded to the warnings that pop up in our life. Blinded to those who are hurting. A great deal of temptation comes through the eyes to abstain from looking at that which is sinful. It takes discipline, and our eyes has to be right. How often the eyes are made to be the sewer channels that carry pollution and garbage into our mind. Satan's tactic in Eden was to persuade Eve to look or gaze upon a forbidden fruit. Her desires grew. The fixation got stronger. Her reasoning became distorted. She forgot her priorities and her perception became clouded. The look eventually became lust. The Bible says this in James 1, 12 through 15. Let no man say when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin and death came into this world through the eyes of Eve. The Bible said in Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. I thought about this, all it took was a look. That's where every bit of it began at. You know what? To the man that's messed up on his wife, you know where it started at? With a look. To the lady that's messed up on her husband, you know where it started at? A look. Matter of fact, I was helping a preacher deal with a situation back before I got sick. And as we was talking about it, every bit of that situation, I'm talking about a devastating situation, every bit of it, the man ended up admitting it all started with a look towards pornography. Where it all, eyes, are you hearing me tonight? Achan, you remember Achan in the book of Joshua chapter number 7? What did he say? He said, and when I saw a goodly Babylonian garment. Where did it start at? It started with his eyes. What about David? He said he went upon the rooftop and saw Bathsheba. Where did it start at? It started at his eyes. What about Samson? He went down to Timnath and saw a woman there. It started in his eyes. As much as the eyes can be bad, the eyes can be good also. Because the Bible said this in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth my heart. And how true that is. How true that is. I'm going to tell you something. You can see pictures of a place where a national or a natural disaster has took place, like a hurricane or a tornado. And those pictures are one thing, but I know Charlie will testify to this. He's been with me before. When you pull into those areas with a truck and trailer and they're absolutely flattened and people is literally laying in their yard on blankets sleeping because nothing's there, it affects your heart. Why? Because you see it. That's the reason Jesus said this in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and what? Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Hear me, church. We need to lift up our eyes and look on a community that's dying and going to hell and realize it's white already to harvest. What our eyes should be, I'll say too, and I promise you we're going home. What our eyes should be, number one, they should be set upon the Lord. See, it sounds like our ears. That's right. Set upon the Lord. Listen to what the psalmist said. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made a heaven and a earth. Amen. You know what the psalmist is saying when you study Psalms 121? I pulled a book out this week whenever I read this and read on Psalms 121 again just to refresh my memory. And they had been going through a valley whenever you study it out. And they're saying this, we're lifting up our eyes to the hills from which cometh our strength. They was almost home, if you want to put it that way. And can I say this? When we fix our eyes upon Him, not upon man tonight, man will fail you. I will fail you. This world will fail you. But when we lift, I'm supposed to be teaching tonight, and I really feel like preaching. When we lift our eyes up to Him, and we see who He is, and how good He is, and how much He's blessed us, and how good He's been to us, when we think about how good God is in our health, and how good God is in our homes, and how good God is here in the sanctuary that we dwell in. Boy, it makes me want to forget everything else. It makes me want to forget the bad times and those that has done me wrong. We fix our eyes on Him tonight. That's what we do. Here's what he said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, look at him who died for you. But the verse didn't end there. He said, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, you look at the one that died, that was buried, that rose again, and then, thank God, 40 days later, reached up, grabbed a cloud, pulled it down, and said, glory, please, and ascended back to heaven, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you say, what's he doing sitting there? He's making intercession on my behalf. Amen. That's what we do. We look at him. We look at what he went through. We look at what he faced. And when we compare our little trivial trials to Calvary, amen. What our eyes should be set upon the Lord. What our eyes should be, well, I think our eyes should be sharing and self-sacrificing. What did he say in Proverbs 22:9? Miss Tina, will you come to the piano? What did he say in Proverbs 22:9? He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. We should be looking at that. I thought about today. Leslie and I was riding early this morning. You go through under two or three bridges there on that in Mount Airy, the Greenway. Lost my mind there for a second. Greenway. And I thought about, I was preaching at Montevista camp meeting here a while back, and I went underneath some of them bridges in Asheville. Whenever I did, man, I love one of my favorite places to go. I love to go up in the Asheville area. I just do. There's tons of waterfalls up in there that you can hike around. But as I went underneath there, several homeless people. And this week as I was riding, or this morning as I was riding, I went underneath those bridges way before it even got daylight. I thought about that. I looked, Brother Josh. You said, why did you look? Well, Leslie was coming behind me, and I didn't want one of them to jump out and get her if there's any in there. Number two, I was going to stop. So why is you going to stop? Because I know a man named Jesus. Amen. And I want to lift up my eyes and look on the field. Our eyes should be a sharing and a sacrificial. Have consecrated ears. Have controlled eyes. Have a clean heart and mind. We'll pick up there next Wednesday night. Our heart and our mind. Well, our mind's a finicky thing. Let me back up and rephrase that. My mind's finicky thing. Yours may not be. In fact, if you deal with anxiety, Max Lucado's got a book called Anxious for Nothing. Get you a good King James Bible. read the scripture as you go along with it. I don't agree with his version of the Bible. I'm telling you, it's got some, it'll help you. It'll help you with anxiety. Our mind, our eyes, our ears, our feet, our hands, there'll be sacrifice to God. I ask you a question tonight. Is your ears right? Is your eyes right? Or not, you know what we ought to do? Get on an altar tonight. Say, God, help my ears to be right. Help my eyes to be right. We'll be careful what we're putting in our ears. I don't know about your home. I don't. It's going to sound so bad. I don't care about your home. That's between you and the Lord. What you do inside your home is between you and God. What you watch, what you listen to, that's between you and the Lord. You as the husband is going to stand before God for that. Not your wife. You are. I'm going to stand before God for it. I'm going to stand before God for my home. So in my home, we have a rule. We ain't going to watch something that's got a bunch of cussing in it. I'm going to watch something that's got a bunch of cussing in it. I'll tell you the reason why. I'm not going to put that, number one, in my children's ears. You wouldn't let a man sit down in your home and cuss like a sailor. Why we let him sit on the TV and do it? I'm being honest. And it gets in these kids' minds. Some of these cartoons are out of hell. Fred Sanford, better than some of the cartoons that's out today. I'm just being honest, man. I saw him on the other day, and it was just the attitude. I mean, it was just awful. I said, no, ma'am, Victoria. Well, what's wrong with it? That right there is what's wrong with it, the way you just acted. You know what we do? I'm going to get in trouble. You know what we do so many times? I'm going to back up and rephrase it because we've never done this. We're not going to do this. We decided it wasn't going to happen. We allow this to be babysitters. And our kids get on it. We don't have a clue what they're watching. These advertisements pop up. Go ahead, preacher. I believe I will. These advertisements pop up. We don't have a clue. What are we doing? These pure, innocent little minds that God entrusted us with to raise. He didn't say, let your iPad train up a child in the way it should go. To train up a child in the way it should go. I got Bible on this thing. Train up a child. Train up a child. That's the verse God gave us to homeschool. Train up a child in the way she goes. It's our responsibility. And we push all of this junk into our kids today. And when they say something, well, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Where'd you hear that at? Sitting in your living room. It's not just our ears and our eyes that we're responsible for. If we've got children, church, I love you. I'm not being mean tonight. I'm being honest. We have a responsibility to God to raise those children. Our kids, again, you do what you want to do in your home. Our kids has never had a TV in their room. Let me tell you the reason why. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. Madeline's 20 years old, and I don't trust her father. I can throw her. Tell you the reason why? Because she's flesh. She's flesh. She turned 18. That's when she could start single dating. There does come a time that you have to allow them to make some decisions on their own. Are you with me? There does come a time. But until then, boy, we should be careful in closing tonight what we're putting in the ears and the eyes